Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
So good, so good, so good to be in church. Amen? I haven't been in church since last year. All right, praise God. I'm excited about 2016. I'm excited about our 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many are looking for some breakthrough? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Looking for some breakthrough, looking for some direction, looking for some things just to, you know, just some stuff that feels like it's holding you back. I tell you what, 21 days of prayer and fasting is a tool that God uses for breakthrough in your life. Amen. I never was into fasting, you know, just in our circles, in our crowd, you know, in the Rhema camp, you know, it was always you live a fasted lifestyle. And so I was never really into it. And actually, Betty Green is the one who really came in here and taught us about fasting. And the Lord just spoke to Pastor Scott and I a few years ago to do a really intense fast for 21 days. We did that. And I tell you, we just had such breakthrough in our life, just really some things that were so clouded. You ever just something so clouded you can't see because it's clouded? Or, you know the saying, can't see the forest for the trees, that kind of a thing. Just some things that were clouded just became so clear, and just direction and inspiration and just power that honestly we hadn't had before. And so since then, as a church, we've been doing 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of every year, because what a better way to start your year off, right? Now, 1 year we made a mistake. Say a mistake. 1 year we made a mistake, and we planned a picnic in the middle of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I mean, that was not real bright. You know, I felt really bad for people, because I remember a few of the people were not eating meat at all, and we had all this Bud's chicken, and then people weren't eating fried food, and it was like, oh, wow, so we're not doing that again. So this year, at the end of the month, we're planning a big picnic to celebrate our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So we learned our lesson. We won't do that again. That was just a scheduling error there. But anyway, I just encourage you today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about prayer and fasting, just how to do it, the power of it, what the Word says about it. And I just encourage you to come and take this journey with us. You know, we're not asking anybody to, you know, say, okay, we're all doing a juice fast. You know, I mean, I'd be passed out. I don't think I could do it. I'll be honest with you. You know, you fast what the Lord tells you to fast. You pray and you ask the Lord, and that's how we do it. But we pray together for 21 days. We're doing prayer here at the church Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We're doing it earlier, so if you are working, maybe you can come before you go to work. And then we're also doing prayer on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, so we get to sleep in a little bit. Saturdays at 9 o'clock, and then Sunday nights, as usual, we have prayer at 6:30. And so I just encourage you guys, let's just kick the devil in the teeth from the beginning of the year all the way through. Amen. Amen. Let's just do that. And so we're going to be talking about that today. But I got a message for you, and it might turn into a series. I'm just listening to see what the Lord would have us do. But calling this message today, soul therapy. Look at your neighbor and say, you need therapy. Some of you have been wanting to say that to that person for years. And finally, you got to say it. You need therapy. But, you know, I'm a firm believer in Christian therapy. But anything therapy is just something that helps you. You know, there's therapeutic massages. Somebody say amen, right? Those feel good, right? You know, therapy is something that helps you. And no matter what kind of therapy we get, if it's not rooted in the Word, it's not going to last. Amen? Because the Word of God is where we get real change. But here we are. It's the beginning of the year. It's our last day of Christmas decorations at the church. You know, we always leave them up this Sunday so we can all look at them one more time, because they're just so beautiful. And next week, the stage is going to look so boring and so bare, and we're all going to be like, what happened? Well, the gigantic tree has been put away. And so let's all feast our eyes. It's so beautiful, right? Everything looks so nice. And so here we are at the new year, and maybe you're a resolution kind of person, and maybe you're not. But, you know, there's always the usuals, right? I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to lose weight. you know, I'm going to, you know, be on time, I'm going to get more sleep, you know, whatever your thing is. But a lot of times those resolutions are outside things, but if we don't change inside things don't last. And they say that resolutions, if people make them, it's like 82% of people by the third week and by the fourth week, we're done and we're right back to our old patterns that we've been living before. Because really, we are products of our habits. And so for a resolution or a change to take place, we've got to change our habits. And that's one of the reasons why we do prayer and fasting for 21 days, because they say it takes 21 days to start a new habit. And so we really want, as a body, as a group, as a family, to develop the habit of putting God first and the habit of prayer in our life. Amen? If we were to look back on 2015, and I know some of us, you know, a lot of people went through some difficult times. We had some great, awesome things that happened, but you know, life happens, things happen. But we look back through there, how much better would it have been had we have covered it more in prayer? Right? How much better would our lives be if we covered it more in prayer? How more in tune would we be with what we needed to do, where we needed to go, all these kind of things, had we listened to the Lord more for direction? How many of us sometime during 2015, the Holy Ghost spoke to you about something and we ignored it and just kept going? Anybody else? I'll raise my hand. You know, from the little things to forgetting your, you know, the Holy Ghost say, grab that umbrella. Anybody ever have that? Grab that umbrella. And you're like, oh, I'm not going to need that. Next thing you know, you're like, man, I should have listened. Or as I was last week, you know, guys, remember I didn't have my jacket last week. And I didn't tell this part, but Sunday morning while I was getting ready, just an unction on the inside. Remember last week we talked about receiving direction from the Holy Ghost. A lot of times just an unction, just a, you know, a pressing was like, call and see if your jacket's there. And I was like, nope, I know it's there. It's for sure there. I get here and guess what's not here? My jacket, right? And so the Holy Ghost, he cares about those little things. He also cares about those big things. Amen. He cares about your safety. He cares about promoting you at work. He cares about making you the smartest person at work. How many want to be the smartest person at work? If there's a question, if there's a solution that needs to be done, you're the one that's going to have it because you got Holy Ghost wisdom on the inside of you. Amen? And so when we're looking at this new year, I'm sure a lot of us, whether you made resolutions or whatever, all of us, because it's human nature, we all want to be better. We want to be better fathers, better mothers, better wives, better husbands, better employees, better bosses, wherever you're at. We want to be better. Because God puts in us a desire to improve. But the enemy will always try to whisper and tell you that everything is going to be the same and there's no power available to change your situation. Isn't that what he does? He says, oh, nothing's going to change. You said this last year and nothing changed. You said it the year before and nothing changed. But in order to change, God wants to do some change on the inside. When we let God do change on the inside, we will see change on the outside. Amen? And so there are some areas where we want to be better. Let's let God do some therapy on us. Amen? You know, we got this idea of therapy. You know, you lay down on the couch and you let somebody talk to you. I don't think you really lay on a couch. I don't think you do that. But let's just lay on a Holy Ghost couch this morning. And let's let the Holy Ghost do some therapy through his word on the inside of us. Maybe straighten out a little bit of our thinking. And when we straighten out our thinking, we're straightening out from the inside out. And when we do that, we're going to allow God to make our lives better. Let's believe that this is the best year yet. Amen? Why not? Why not believe this is the best year yet? Now, some of you glass half empty people are like, well, I'll tell you why, Peggy. I'll tell you why. And then we got that glass half full people. We're like, well, you know, it could be. But I'll never forget something Christina Fadina wrote in our Bloom book. She said, quit looking at the glass as half full or half empty, but remind yourself that we get free refills because God is constantly pouring into us and filling us to overflowing. Amen? The glass is full. Amen. And when when life kicks it over and it all pours out and you feel empty, guess what? God gives you a refill.
Amen.
Amen. It's unlimited refills. How many remember there used to be a restaurant called Margaritas? Anybody remember that place? If you've been here for a while, you remember that place. It was on Palm Beach Lakes. They had the best food. And Pastor Mark and I, we used to eat there all the time because he loved Mexican food. We'd eat there. And so, but here's the thing about that place. They're not there anymore. Everybody shed a little tear because it was a great place. That was a great place. But here's the thing about the place. You had to pay for every refill. You had to pay for every refill. And I'll tell you a story. My brother Mike and I went there one time. Now, when Pastor Mark would take us, he would always pay. That's the kind of brother to have right there. He would always pay. He would always pay. But my brother Mike, not so much. So my brother Mike and I, strike that from the record. You know, so we went there one time and we ordered, and I don't know, but in our family, we're like camels, man. We drink so much while we're eating. That's just how we are. And so we're drinking and drinking, and then the bill comes and it's huge. And we're like, what in the world? And I look at Mike, he looks at me, and they charged us for every refill, which we didn't know because Mark always paid, right? And so we got this huge bill. We had to leave and go to the ATM and come back because we didn't have enough money with us to pay for all those drinks. Now, they were just, don't be thinking like they were just sodas, you know? I mean, it wasn't alcohol or anything. It was just sodas. But, you know, $2.29 after about six of them for two people, you're adding up, right? But the thing is, sometimes we go through life like that. We're just like, man, oh, I can't have another one because I'm going to have to pay for that. I'm going to have to pay for that. But God wants to fill you over and over and over and over and over and over again to overflowing. That's the life that we need to grab a hold of and say, that's the life God has for me. Not that never enough, don't have enough, got to pay for it, oh, this is going to cost me. Let's get rid of that thinking, and let's trust God to fill us. When we pour out, He fills us up. When we pour out, He fills us up. That's the life God has for us. Amen? So we got to do a little bit of changing on the inside so we can do some changing on the outside, right? All right, here we go. Turn over in your Bibles. You can follow along on the Bible app if you want. Turn over to Psalms 42. We're going to read verses 3 and 5. And he says, my tears, this is David, King David. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. This sounds like a sad story, doesn't it? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Now, how many can see that David started out in one place and he ended up in another? You know, one fun thing to do when you read the book of Psalms, a lot of times the Psalms begin with just a, you know, God, where are you, right? Or David will say, you have left me. But then when you get to the bottom of it, when you get to the last one, his whole mindset has changed, and he's saying, oh, I will praise you all the days of my life. Because here's what happens when trouble comes, when problems come, when life comes. Sometimes our thinking can just get crazy. Even David, King David, even him, when he was, here he says, my tears have been my food day and night. But here's why. Let's look at this. Let's just look and see what happens. He says, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? How many can see David's having a bad day? Yeah. Anybody ever have a bad day?
Yeah.
Where even you're saying, where is God? Listen, the answer to that question always, say always,
always,
always is right with you. Right with you. Don't go looking so like, where's God? Where's God? He's always with you. And so David's saying, listen, I'm crying all day and all night. Everybody's saying, where is my God? And here's the thing. This is what's happened. He says, these things I remember. What is he remembering? He's remembering about the bad day he's having. He's just going over and over again with those bad thoughts. And he's saying, but I remember as I pour out my soul. And he starts talking. But then he changes. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? He's saying, listen, what's the deal? What's wrong with you? Why are you so downcast? How many don't want to have a downcast year? But you know what? We can have some downcast days. And when we do, we need to ask ourselves, why? Why is my soul downcast? And then the answer is always, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. So what did David do? He went from saying, my tears have been my food day and night. He's crying on his pillow. He's crying at breakfast. He's crying at lunch. Everybody's saying, where's your God? He's having a really bad day. He's like, my soul, that's your emotions. My soul is so downcast. But then he says, I'm going to put my hope in God. What does he do? He makes a turn. He changes his thinking. In order to change our life, we have to change our thinking. You'll never change your life if you keep thinking the same way. Never. If you go into 2016 the same way that you were in 2015, all through 2015, into 2015, if that wasn't good for you, you're going to have the same thing no matter what resolution you write down, no matter how many plans you make, no matter how many goals you set, you're going to have the same thing if you don't change your thinking. And that's what David does here. He says, listen, he's showing us. I love how the Bible is real. The Bible is real. We can see through Psalms. We can see where David has bad days. He has bad stuff that happens. And we can see him work through his emotions and work all the way through and get his thinking in line from going, oh, I'm crying on my pillow, to going, I'm going to put my hope in God. We can see him doing exactly what we need to do, taking those thoughts of depression and those thoughts of anxiety and those thoughts of hopelessness, taking those and saying, all right, you're trying your best, but I'm going to change my thinking and I'm going to flip this around and I'm going to put God's word on it. Because when you put God's word on whatever's going on, it will change. The word of God applied to any situation correctly over time, that situation has no option but to change. Because the word of God never returns void. And God is watching over his word. Anybody know the rest? To perform it. To perform it. And so when you put the word on something and you do it right, it's going to change. It has to change. It doesn't have a choice but to change. Because the word is more powerful than anything else. Amen? And so that's what David's doing. He's saying, listen, I'm having a bad day here. All my friends are like giving me a hard time. And it doesn't seem like anything is working out. And I'm remembering the good days. But today my soul is downcast. But then he flips. And we've got to flip. You know how you say, man, oh, you flipped a lid or you flipped out. We need to flip into the word. Amen? We need to flip the right way. We need to say, okay, all right, I'm having a bad day. My soul is downcast. That just means, anybody ever have a day where you just got the blahs, you got the blues? I mean, that's coming, that's happening, but I'm going to flip this, and I'm going to speak the word. And he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And then Proverbs 23:7 is so powerful. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. The power of your thinking is determining who you are. As you think in your heart, the Bible says, so are you. And so we have got to change what's going on, what kind of thoughts we're letting in and we're keeping and we're letting them go. What did David say? I remember he was thinking about all the bad stuff. But then he switched over. And so I want to talk to you guys about your thinking. Because it's so, I was talking to my brother the other day, and we were talking about what we believe, like in this new year, like what do we believe is the number one thing, number one message, number one skill, number one new habit that all the people in our churches need to have. And you know what it is? Of course, prayer. But change, you can pray all day long, but if you don't change how you think, that prayer is not going to help you. If you were to say to me, what's the number one thing I need to do to change my life? You know what I'm going to tell you? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Change the way you think to the way God thinks. Change the way you think to the way the Word, what the Word says. Because until you do that, you're constantly going to be hearing and believing what the enemy says, what the world says, what your flesh says. And we've got to rise up and say, no, I'm going to do what David did. And even though I might be having a bad day, I'm going to go with what the Word says. We've got to renew our minds. When you renew your mind, it changes your finances. Because when you renew your mind to the Word, you look at money different. You look at everything different when you have the Word in you. You look at relationships different. You don't have hopelessness in your life because you know the hope of glory lives in you. And so when hopelessness comes, because it comes to all of us, we say, nope, that can't be in my life because I've got God. And no situation is hopeless, not with God. And some people are just like, oh, all this religious talk and all this. Listen, you live your life the way you want to with your power, your ability, and see where it gets you. As for me, I'm going to go with God.
That's right.
Amen. As for me, I'm going to go with God and the power of God in my life because that's always gotten me through. Amen. And so let's look at this. Let's write this down. If you're taking notes, say, I will never change my life until I change the way I think. You're never going to change your life until you change the way you think. Never. And so we need to ask ourselves, who are we listening to? Who are you listening to? It amazes me that somebody will take relationship advice from someone who has no healthy relationships in their life. It just amazes me that you talk to your friend who's been divorced several times about your marriage. What do they know? They know how not to do it. But usually nobody realizes that what they've got to say is how not to do it. They want to tell you how to do it. But they don't have that fruit in their life. And so we need to ask ourselves, who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? Are you listening to the enemy? Because the devil will lie to you. He will lie to you. The Bible says when he speaks, his language is lies. His language is lies. Like my language, I speak English. I wish I was dual language, but I'm not. But Pastor Angel, he speaks English and he speaks Spanish. So he could belt out some Spanish, right? Say something in Spanish.
Buenos dias.
I can say that. Buenos dias. I know what that means. I know what that means.
Say something.
That's good. Good morning, right? So his language, he speaks English and he speaks Spanish. You know what the devil speaks? Lies.
Come on.
That's his language. That's his language. And if you're listening to him, he's lying to you.
Yeah.
He's lying to you. The Bible says in John 8:44, it says, when he, the devil, lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Every lie, that's why it's so important that you speak the truth. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Don't be speaking the devil's language. Every lie that is ever told, the father of it is the enemy.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So next time we want to say a lie, let's catch ourselves and say, oh, it's not worth it. I don't want to speak the devil's language. I don't want to do that. And then Psalms 13:2 says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? If you're listening to the enemy, he's lying to you. When he says you're never going to make it, you're nothing, you're a loser, that nothing's going to work out for you, those are lies. Those are lies. He's trying to get you to believe what he says, but he lies. That's all he can do is lie. And when what he says, it never lines up with the Word of God. Never. Because he lies. The other place we get information from is from the world. But here's the thing. The world will pollute you. The world will pollute you. That's why when we're fasting, because here's what fasting does. Fasting disconnects you from the world. It pulls you out of the world. When you put something down and you lay aside something, you're pulling yourself, you're putting yourself, you're saying, Lord, you mean more to me than this. It disconnects you from the world. But here's what I mean by this. The world pollutes you when all you're listening to, when the only thing that's coming in to your two ears are what's on television, what's at the movies, what the news has to say, what your unsaved friends have to say. That is the pollution of the world. I can't tell you as a youth pastor how many times I would talk to young people and their ideas of relationships were not based on reality. They were based on a television show. They would be like, well, so-and-so, it's okay for so-and-so. And I would look at them and say, that person is not real. That's not reality. You know, on TV, the TV shows, everybody sleeps with everybody else and everybody remains friends. That's not reality. You can't do that. It's not real. And so if that's all you're hearing, you're letting the world pollute you. And your thinking is going to be off. And then you're looking for God results, but you're not using God's ways. To get God results, the blessing, the provision, the health, the healing, the peace, the favor. Amen. Aren't those the good things of God we want? To get those things, you got to do it God's way. That's how it works. Amen. Next thing, you know, the thing about it is, Ephesians 4:17, the world pollutes us. He says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. You know, the Bible rarely is this strong in its wording. He says, and insist on it. God insists on this. He says that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Now, in the New Testament, in this time, the Gentiles were a type of the world. They were people that lived without the ways and the relationship with God. He says, I insist that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. You know, when people describe depression, anxiety, things like that, when they describe that, and we're not making light of it, those are very real situations. Those are very real issues that people deal with, very real things. And God wants to help you in those real things. But do you know how most often it is described? It's a darkness. It's a darkness in my life. I feel like just a darkness, like a heaviness. And you know where that comes from? The root. We want the root of things. Because if you don't take care of the root of something, it's going to keep growing back over and over and over again. You got to take care of the root. And God wants to help us. And here he goes, listen, I insist. This is God saying, I insist. Don't you think we should listen? He says, I insist on it, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. He's saying, listen, the world does not think right. And he says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Listen, let's not let the world pollute us. You know, let me tell you something. As I was meditating this morning and praying, and I'm praying for you, and you take this, you do whatever you want with it, but I believe the Lord said this. There are people that are dealing with fear. Fear. Real fear. And I tell you, a lot of it comes. Now, this is going to bear witness with somebody. Somebody's going to be like, ooh, that's me. And then what you do with it is up to you. But a lot of it comes from the pollution of the world. The pollution of fear mainly comes from television. There are just some things on TV that are no good for you to be watching. They're just not good. Listen, how many times can you watch how a serial killer grabs somebody and keeps somebody and tortures somebody until it affects you? You know, listen, there are people, I was talking to a young lady and she was like, oh, I'm so scared all the time. I just feel like this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And I said, what do you watch on TV? You know what she said to me? She goes, I love Criminal Minds. I love it. I love that show. I watch it over and over and over and over and over again. I love that. I love CSI. I love all the CSIs. And I said, listen, you are feeding yourself on all this death and crime and savagery. You're feeding your mind on it. And you know, listen, some people watch that stuff, it doesn't bother them a bit. If that's you, God bless you, right? You are dead inside, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking, because I know a few people watch it. I'm not going to say any names, but I know a couple people, and it doesn't bother them, and that's fine. That's between you and the Lord. But listen, if you are in fear all the time, it's affecting you. It's affecting you. You know, you ever notice when somebody is watching something over and over again, they start talking like that person? Pastor Scott and I were with somebody, and they had been watching Jim Gaffigan a lot. You know, guys, know who that is? That's a comedian. Scott even said to me, he goes, you've been watching Jim Gaffigan a lot, haven't you? And he goes, how'd you know that? And Scott goes, because you sound just like him, and you're talking like him. Listen, when you get that much of something in you, it affects you. I'm not anti-TV. I love TV. I could watch TV all day. I like TV. I do. But man, you got to be Holy Ghost led. If something is too much, it's too much. It's just too much. It's too much. You know, like I said, some people can watch that stuff. It doesn't bother them. That's between you and the Lord. But listen, if you're starting to see it in your life, don't just keep doing it. That pollution is getting you. We want a different kind of year this year. So let's do different stuff. Amen? Let's do different stuff. All right, let's keep going. No, I'm not going to say that. All right. I am going to say it. Some people are, you know, they say, oh, I can't seem to stop cussing. I can't seem to stop cussing. Well, probably because you're hearing it constantly because of the stuff you're watching. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's keep going. Turn over to Psalms. Some people are like, oh, Pastor, please don't go there. Don't go there. Listen, you praise Jesus with that mouth? All right, let's keep going.
Glory.
Back to it. We want a different kind of year. We got to do different stuff. Amen.
Right.
We want a different life. We got to do different stuff. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Listen, I don't want to get up to heaven and the Lord go, man, you were insane. Because you just kept doing the same thing over and over again, wanting something different. I don't want that. I want something different, so I got to do something different. If you want to talk different, then you need to change who you're listening to.
Right.
Amen? If you want to think different, you got to change what you're letting in here. Don't listen to the enemy. He's lying to you. Be careful of the pollution of the world. God said he insists that we no longer live like them. And then the last thing is our problems. Your problems will confuse you. Isn't that the truth? When everything is going crazy and we've got all the pressure of life, our problems make our thinking get a little strange. Psalms 10:1 says, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? That's David. He's having a bad day, but then when we get down to verse number 17, he's gotten his thinking straightened out. See, you can't stay in this top of Psalms. You can't stay there. You can't stay saying, Lord, why are you far off? Where are you, Lord? Why is this happening? Who's going to help me? You can't stay there. You got to push through that problem just like David did in every single Psalm. And you got to get to the end where he says this, you hear, O Lord, the desires of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. What a change. He's like, where are you, God? By the time verse 17, he's like, oh, you're here, God. You're here. You're with me. You're listening to me. You can't stay in wrong thinking. You can't stay there. God is always with you. He is always for you. His word is always working in you and through you. God is at work in your life.
Amen.
But if you stay in thinking about only problems and you don't move over into putting your hope in God, you are going to stay in a darkened place. And we don't want that. We want to push through and say, Lord, this is my best year yet. Amen. This is the year that I'm going to push through those thoughts of depression and those thoughts of problems. And I'm going to push through and I'm going to put my hope in God.
Amen.
This is the year that I don't stop with the cares, but I push through to the one who cares for me.
Yes.
Listen, God did not come here. Jesus did not die on a cross for you to cope with everything. And that means you've learned to live with it. You cope with it. He didn't die for you to do that. He died for you to have hope. Not just to cope, but to have hope that there's always a bright future. There's always the blessings of God for me. There's always an answer. There's always God on my side. That's what Jesus came and died for. Not so that you could cope with your problems, but so that you could overcome them. Amen?
Right.
We are overcomers.
Right.
But it starts in our head.
Yes.
We got to push through and say, all right, I see that number on my bank balance. I see that. But God. All right, I feel that pain in my body. But God. All right, I see that crazy family member, but God. All right, my marriage isn't what it needs to be, but God. Amen? God can change anything, but we got to get our thinking to that place. And so turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Here's the key to change. I will never change the way I think until I renew my mind. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many know what a pattern is? You probably have a pattern that you go to work every day. How many go to work the same way every day, probably? That's your pattern. How many have a routine every morning? You get up, you make the coffee, you do whatever. You have a pattern. It's how you live your life. We live our lives in patterns, in routines. And the Word of God says, listen, you need a new pattern for your mind. You've got to change the way you think. You may have grown up where there wasn't enough, nobody had a kind word for anybody, and nobody thought anybody would succeed. Maybe that was your family. Maybe when you bought your house, you were the first one in your family to buy one. Maybe when you graduated from high school, you were the first one to graduate. You set a new pattern for everyone following behind you. And new patterns start in your mind. Instead of thinking, it's going to be the same, nothing's going to change, we need a new pattern. We need to remember Revelation says that Jesus makes all things new. Amen? We need to remember that the hope of glory lives on the inside of us. We need to remember that we are made to be overcomers.
Yes.
We need to remember that we have God's promise, that I'm blessed not only coming in, but I'm blessed going out. We need to remember that God's word says that everything I set my hand to prospers.
Yes.
Isn't that a different way of thinking than, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it this year. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm probably not going to get a raise. Probably not going to get a job. Probably not this. You need a new pattern. You need a new pattern. And we need to set our minds on the pattern of the Word. He says, do not conform any longer. You know what that means? That means we all conform to the world's thinking in one way or another. And he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want a transformed year? You want a year that looks different? You want a life that looks different, a marriage that looks different, a job that looks different, a bank balance that looks different, a heart that looks different, a mind that looks different. You want it transformed. Transformation comes when we renew our minds. And renewing your mind simply means this. It's simply said, but difficult to do. It means to change the way you think to the way God thinks. That's what it means. It means your thinking lines up with the Word. And the only way to renew our minds is through the Word. You know how you renew your mind? You get more Word in you. Because when the Word comes in, when good teaching comes in, when you read the Word, when it comes in your head, it pushes out bad thinking. It changes it. See, your head is filled with, I'm not going to make it. Nothing's going to work. God doesn't love me. God's not here. You're stuck in Psalms 1 when you need to get down to the bottom of the Psalms where it says, my God is with me. My God is for me. My God hears the prayers of the afflicted. My God works on my behalf. We need to push out. We need to push through. And we do that by getting enough Word in us. But when we're watching so much TV and we're listening to worldly music and we're listening to all these things that are contrary to the Word of God, we're filling our head up. And then we get one little message on Sunday morning. It's like, doink. You know, and it gets in there and it's like, woo, boy, there's a lot going on in here. And then all week long, you're putting all that pollution back in. And that little word you heard on Sunday is like, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, you know? But then you got all this other stuff coming, and you're like, man, why don't I have any change? Because you don't have enough in you to transform. That's why we got to get it in there and get that wrong thinking out. Get it out, and let's not fill back up with it. Let's get more of God in us. So you know how you know? Well, you know when you know who somebody really is? It's how they are under pressure. And I'll tell you a story. When Pastor Scott and I were dating, this is like 100 years ago, we were dating, and you know, and it was kind of at that point where we're both kind of like, man, is this going to keep going? Are we going to, you know, whenever you're in a relationship, you get to that point where, yeah, I'm going to marry this guy, or, yeah, I don't know, you know, right? You get to that point. And so we're to that point where it was either going to stop or it was going to progress into marriage. It was to that serious point. And so I'll never forget this. We were, Pastor Scott went down and played at another church down south, and he had all this equipment in the car, and we had borrowed my sister's Volvo, her station wagon, Volvo station wagon, so he could carry all of his equipment and be locked up, right? And so we go down there, we have a great time. Philip Slaughter's down there, we have so much fun and everything. And then we come back, we go to Denny's. Remember the story, babe? He's like, oh boy. We go to Denny's, and all the equipment's in the car, and so we go inside, we go to Denny's, we eat, we come out, car won't start. And we are in like Miami, right? We're in Miami, we got like thousands of dollars worth of equipment in the car, and it's really, really getting late, and it's only the two of us, and you didn't have cell phones back then. That's how long ago it was. Some of you young people are like, oh my gosh, you're so old. You know, no cell phones, and so the car won't start. And so Scott, you know, he's really super smart about all kinds of things. And so he says, all right, I'm going to push the car up the hill, you get in the car, and when the car rolls back, pop the clutch, and it'll start. I got this. So I'm in the car, he pushes it, you know, and, you know, I mean, it's like the car is so heavy, he pushes it up there, and he goes, all right, and so I let the clutch out, nothing happens. He's like, all right, let's do it again. So he pushes the car up on the hill, and he rolls back, he goes, pop the clutch. So I pop the clutch, nothing happens. He goes, all right. He goes, let's do it one more time. You know, he's sweating. I'm in the car. I'm fine. He's sweating, you know. It's like, we're gonna have to call a tow truck. What are we going to do? Blah, blah. And so he goes, all right, let's do it one more time, you know. And so he pushes the car up, and it rolls back. He's like, pop the clutch. So I pop the clutch, and still nothing happens. So he comes around the car, and he says this to me. He says, do you have the key on? Real sweet like that. He's like, do you have the key on? And I look at the car and I was like, no. You want to know who you're marrying. you find out in those kind of situations. And he just looked at me, as sweet as he could be, he said, baby, turn the key on. We'll do it one more time. He never yelled. He never cussed. He never got mad. Nothing. And do you know what? We've been married 20 years. And still to this day, when I do something like that, same response. He never yells. He never cusses. He never calls me name. Nothing like that. Listen, if somebody does that now, they'll do that then. You're the best, babe. And so you know what happened? I turned the key on. He pushes the car up. Boom! Starts right up. First time. But here's the point. You know who somebody is when there's pressure, when things don't go their way, when it's hard times, when they're pouring down sweat and it's 90-degree weather and they're pushing a Volvo up a hill. You know who they are. And so when that happens, what comes out? Does the fruit of the Spirit come out? Does that come out? Does the word come out? What comes out? Because that is who you really are. Whether we want to admit that or not, it's true. And so how do we change what comes out? We change it by deciding what goes in. You got to change what goes in. And so we want a new year, a transformed life. Let's change what's going in. Quit listening to the devil. He lies to you. Quit letting the world pollute you. Quit letting so much pollution get in that the word has no place to go. Quit letting your problems confuse you. Let's push through and say, Lord, I'm going to renew my mind this year. This is my year to learn your word, to get it in me so much so that when pressure comes, the word comes out. Amen. Let's have that kind of year. Let's have that kind of year. Amen. Now we're going to go. We're going to close up here. But before we go, I just want to encourage you about the prayer and fasting. You know, the Bible says, I'm just going to read one scripture to you. In Matthew 17, 14 through 18, it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. He says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. This is what Jesus said. He said, O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. They could not do what Jesus could do. And he said, why? He said, this is why they couldn't do it, because they were perverse and unbelieving. And here's what that means. Unbelieving just means you're not connected to God. You're not connected to God. And perverse, you know what that word means? You know what it means in this scripture? You are too connected to the world. See, we're looking for change. We're looking for transformation. We're looking for different lives, different marriages, different futures, different bank accounts, different on the inside. We're looking for change. And change comes when we connect more with God and we disconnect from the world. Doesn't mean that we get weird and we're strange and we're just, you know what I'm saying. That's not what that means. It just means that we're no longer living like the world. We're different. We sound different. We live different. We're disconnected from them. And you say, well, that doesn't sound very Christ-like. It is the most Christ-like thing you can do is to show people how to live for Jesus.
That's right.
Because when people see no difference between you and them, they wonder, what's the point? What's the point? How big is your God if he can't change you? How big is he? Why should I give my life to somebody that's not doing anything in your life? You look, act, and talk just like me, and I don't have Jesus. Isn't that the truth? And so Jesus said, listen, you perverse and unbelieving generation. Man, I don't want to get up to heaven. And Jesus say, you are just too connected to the world and not connected to me enough. That's why a lot of things didn't happen for you. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And so what does he say? The disciples come and they say, the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. He says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There are some things in life that you just have to push through and go through prayer and fasting to get the breakthrough you're looking for. I tell you, I believe that with everything in me. I have lived it. I know that it's true. And that's why I believe in setting time apart to say, this is a time we don't have any events. There is nothing going on at BBC for the next 21 days except prayer. There are no men's meetings, no Bible studies, nothing. We pray. That's what we're doing. You say, well, don't you pray all the time? Yeah, we pray all the time. This is different. This is a corporate, this is what we're doing. And we add fasting to it. What did Jesus say? He said prayer and fasting. Yeah. He said, what should I fast? Ask the Lord what you should fast. Right. There's different kinds of fasts. There's a food fast. And then what we would call a soul fast, which is real good for you. A soul fast is when you fast something that feeds your soul, feeds your emotions, feeds your flesh. Like television, the radio, the computer, stuff like that. I know, I think, Candy, didn't you fast music last year? She fasted all, like, and she's a huge music lover, country music lover. Fasted all of it. And I remember her telling me, man, what a change. You say, what's the big deal about just because you're putting something down you like? It and your flesh wants it. And you're saying, no. I'm disconnecting from that, and I'm connecting more with God. That's the power. People say, well, what's the big deal? Why should I do that? Because you're putting your flesh down. Your flesh always wants what it wants, right? Yeah. It wants to watch TV. It wants to go on Facebook. It wants to find out what's going on. It wants all that stuff. It wants chocolate. It wants for whatever. It wants that stuff. And so you say, no, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to disconnect from my personal wants and desires, and that's going to help me connect stronger with God. That's how fasting works. And so I encourage you, we've got fasting information on our website. We've got our prayer list, what we pray for every day at the Connection Center. Show up and pray with us. Amen? Show up and pray with us. At least come Sunday night. If you can't come any other time, come Sunday night. Amen? Listen, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's have the ushers come down. I'll tell you, I am excited to see what God does at the end of these 21 days. I can't wait to see. Last year, so many people just saw some breakthrough and had some clarity and just so many testimonies from last year. And I believe we're going to have even more this year. Amen? It's going to be good. But listen, what you put into it directly is correlative to what you get out of it. You got to take it serious.